ಜನ ಭ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರಾವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರಾವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯೋ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಟು ಡೇಸ್ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 6 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 1 ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ದ ಹಿಸ್ಟ್ರಿ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲೈಫ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಜಾಮಿಲ. We'll be covering text 27 and text 28. Sorry, text 26 and 27, right? Yeah. 27 through 29. Okay. Okay, we'll read text 27 is on the board. Okay, great. Sa evam vartamano jno mrityu kala upasthite ಮತಿಂ ಚಕಾರ ತನಯೇ ಬಾಲೇ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಹ್ವಹೇ ಸ ಏವಂ ವರ್ತಮಾನೋಜ್ಞೋ ಮೃತ್ಯುಕಾಲ ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತೇ ಮತಿಂ ಚಕಾರ ತನಯೇ ಬಾಲೇ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಹ್ವಹೇ ಸ ಏವಂ ವರ್ತಮಾನೋಜ್ಞೋ ಮೃತ್ಯುಕಾಲ ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತೇ ಮತಿಂ ಚಕಾರ ತನಯೇ ಬಾಲೇ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಹ್ವಹೇ. ಸ ಏವ ವರ್ತಮಾನೋಜ್ಞೋ ಮೃತ್ಯುಕಾಲ ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತೇ ಮತಿಂ ಚಕಾರ ತನಯೇ ಬಾಲೇ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಹ್ವಹೇ. ಸ ಏವ ವರ್ತಮಾನೋಜ್ಞೋ ಮೃತ್ಯುಕಾಲ ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತೇ ಮತಿಂ ಚಕಾರ ತನಯೇ ಬಾಲೇ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಹ್ವಹೇ. ಸ ಏವಂ ವರ್ತಮಾನೋಜ್ಞೋ ಮೃತ್ಯುಕಾಲ ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತೇ ಮತಿಂ ಚಕಾರ ತನಯೇ ಬಾಲೇ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಹ್ವಹೇ. ಮಾತಾಜಿ, ಸ ಏವಂ ವರ್ತಮಾನೋಜ್ಞೋ ಮೃತ್ಯುಕಾಲ ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತೇ ಮತಿಂ ಚಕಾರ ತನಯೇ ಬಾಲೇ ನಾರಾಯಣಾಹ್ವಹೇ. ಸ ಏವಂ ವರ್ತಮಾನೋಜ್ಞೋ ಮೃತ್ಯುಕಾಲ ಉಪಸ್ಥಿತೇ ಮತಿಂ ಚಕಾರ ತನಯೇ बाले नारायण आह्वये. वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग. सह दट अजामिल एवं दस वर्तमानः लिविंग अज्ञः फूलिश मृत्युकाले व्हेन द टाइम ऑफ डेथ उपस्थिते अराइव्ड मतिम चकार कॉन्सेंट्रेटेड हिज माइंड तनये ऑन हिज सन बाले द चाइल्ड नारायण आह्वये हूज नेम वॉज नारायण. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Translation. When the time of death arrived for the foolish Ajamila, he began thinking exclusively of his son Narayana. Purport. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 216, Shukdev Goswami says, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharma Parinishtaya Janma Labha Parah Pumsa Ante Narayana Smitihi. The highest perfection of human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by acquirement of mystical powers, or by perfect discharge of one's occupational duty is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Somehow or other, Ajamila consciously or unconsciously chanted the name of Narayana at the time of death, Ante Narayana Smritihi, and therefore he became all perfect simply by concentrating his mind on the name of Narayana. It may also be concluded that Ajamila, who was a son of a Brahmana, was accustomed to worshipping Narayana in his youth, because in every Brahmana's house there is worship of a Narayana Shila. The system is still present in India. In a rigid Brahmana's house there is Narayana Seva, worship of Narayana. Therefore, although the contaminated Ajamila was calling for his son, by concentrating his mind on the holy name of Narayana, he remembered the Narayana he had very faithfully worshipped in his youth. In this regard, Shri Sridhar Swami expressed his verdict as follows. Etachatad upalabdhani Sri Narayana nama uchcharana mahatmena tad bhaktir evabhut iti siddhanta upayogitvenei. According to Bhakti Siddhanta, it is to be analyzed that because Ajamila constantly chanted his son's name, Narayana, he was elevated to the platform of bhakti, although he did not know it. Similarly, Sri Veera Raghavacharya gives this opinion. Evam vartamanaha svadija mrityukale upasthite satyanjo Narayanakhe putra eva matim chakara matim asaktam akroda iti arthaha. Although at the time of death he was chanting the name of his son, he nevertheless concentrated his mind upon the holy name of Narayana. Srila Vijaya Dvaja Tirtha gives a similar opinion. Mrityu kale deha viyoga lakshane kale mrityu sarva dosha papa harasya harer anugrahat kale datta jnana lakshane upasthite hridi prakashite तनये पूर्ण जन्म बाले पंच वर्ष कल्पे प्रदेश मात्रे नारायणाह्वये मृत्यु विशेषे मतिम स्मरण स्मर्थम चित्तम चकार भक्त्या आस्मराद इति अर्थः. डायरेक्टली और इनडायरेक्टली अजामिला फैक्चुअली रिमेंबर्ड नारायण एट द टाइम ऑफ डेथ अंते नारायण स्मृतिः. विल ऑल्सो सी टेक्स्ट 28 एंड 29. I'll read the verse. Sapasha hastam trin dushta purushan ati darunan vakratundan urdhvaromna atmanam netum agatan dure kridakshanakshtam putram narayanahoyam plavitena swarucher ajuhava kulendriyaha. Translation. Then Ajamila saw three awkward persons with deformed bodies. Bodily features, fierce, twisted faces and hair standing erect on their bodies. With ropes in their hands, they had come to take him away to the abode of Yamaraj. When he saw them, he was extremely bewildered. And because of attachment to his child, he was playing a short distance away, Ajamila began to call him loudly by his name. Thus, with tears in his eyes, he somehow or other chanted the holy name of Narayana. Purport. A person who performs sinful activities performs them with his body, mind and words. Therefore, three order carriers from Yamaraj came to take Ajamila to Yamaraj's abode. Fortunately, even though he was referring to his son, Ajamila chanted the four syllables of the Harinama, Narayana. And therefore, the order carriers of Narayana, the Vishnudutas, also immediately arrived there. Because Ajamila was extremely afraid of the ropes of Yamaraj, he chanted the Lord's name with tearful eyes. Actually, however, he never meant to chant the holy name of Narayana. He meant to call his son. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshattarine Vanchakalpa Tarurbhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namon Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So welcome to this very interesting and a very powerful discussion from Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, this pastime of Ajamila is one of the hallmarks of the Bhagavat Puran, because this is the Bhagavatam. From any direction you see, it's just a glorification of pure devotional service. And this pastime highlights this aspect, and not just this pastime, this entire canto is going to highlight this aspect. So today we will, and previous speakers have so elaborately highlighted many, many important aspects from this whole canto, from this whole chapter so far. I'd like to give a bird's eye view of why this chapter is so significant, and why specific this pastime in the entire Bhagavatam is so significant. So, and especially the way Sukhdeva Goswami is using this pastime to highlight one very, very important point. In fact, this entire canto, if we study carefully, our Shraddha towards pure devotional service will increase. So we'll try to understand that in a more detailed way. So I'll be switching to the board now. I'll be using the board for the rest of the discussion. So give me a second. I have markers. Yes. Hare Krishna. So, in this whole pastime, if you remember the way this chapter proceeded, we started with one very interesting conversation that Sukhdev and Parikshit Maharaj had, where they had a kind of a teacher-student exam, right? And that initial conversation is very important for us to understand the context in which this particular pastime of Ajamila is being quoted. So let's try to, you know, highlight some aspects. Should I bring the board a little forward? Yeah, maybe it's... Will it come? Yeah, I think we need to unlatch it at the bottom.
Yeah, we can just lift.
Okay, that's enough. Oh yes, thank you. So, to understand this entire pastime in the context of how bhakti is enabling the soul's deliverance from this material world. To understand that, we need to understand, and there are different paths, you know, the path of karma, jnana, ashtanga. Very systematically, in just 3-4 verses, you know, we went through those verses, and you know, you'll see that Sukhdeva Goswami has given some very, very deep answers there. And Parikshit also replied back with some very deep questions. So we'll try to understand this entire context. So to understand how these different processes work, we need to first understand what is the conditioning of the soul. What do we mean by the conditioning of the soul? So we will try to understand our conditioning, and then the deconditioning program will make sense. Right? Without understanding the problem, the solution doesn't, you'll not understand the value of the solution. Right? So first, problem analysis is very important. So the first part, I'll try to explain the problem that we are facing and how different solutions are given and how this initial samvad between Sukhdeva and Parikshit, how very systematically they highlighted the problems in the different processes and why. Is it just because we are a school of bhakti, we are glorifying our own path, you know, blowing your own trumpet, as they say in English, you know, khud ka band bajar. It's not, are we just because we are bhaktas, we are glorifying our own path? Or is there some philosophical, scientific basis to it? That's what we'll try to understand in today's class. Okay. So our journey always begins with the most important element in the whole picture. Who's the most important entity for us? You may say Krishna, but Krishna is happy in Goloka. Our problem is the soul, right? So here is the pure soul, which is Sachidananda in nature, right? And what is the characteristic of soul? How do you know soul exists? Consciousness, right? So the soul has its pure consciousness. So try to see the color. So colors will help you. So blue soul, blue consciousness. Why is the soul blue? Because it is thinking of Krishna all the time. Right? So this is a Krishna consciousness. Right? Because the conscious is also blue in color. But the problem starts here. The pure soul somehow gets influenced by avidya. And that avidya causes asmita or a false identity. We know the word for that. We call it ahankar. So the pure soul gets covered by ahankara. And what does this ahankar do? This pure consciousness is that of ananda. But moment ahankar, so think of this as a ray of light, okay? And whichever color it comes in contact with, that light gets infused by that color. So as soon as this pure love, ananda, bliss of the soul gets influenced by ahankar, now this ray of consciousness gets contaminated. So what is pure bliss here? This is pure bliss. It suddenly, under the influence of ahankar, turns into desire. And think about it. When do you express any desire in your life? In this material world, when do we express a desire? Okay, that is a little too philosophical. Little more basic. When you are born, again, too philosophical. Okay. Getting you a practical example. If this class extends for a very long time, what will happen? I think you all had your breakfast and came, is it? You didn't have your breakfast, right? So immediately a desire called food, hunger, comes in, right? So what is hunger? An experience of absence of food in your body. Right? Which means when you lack something, a desire comes. Clear? Due to some dissatisfaction, when you experience a lacuna, a void in your life, that is when you experience desire. If you are already fully satisfied, then there is no desire. You are Atmarama. Right? So, but this ahankar, what it does, moment it, you forget your true identity and you start getting so many other identities, desire centered around fulfillment of those identities come up. So this pure consciousness of bliss under the influence of ahankar gets transformed into desire, and that is when tada, we land, because the place where you fulfill all your ahankar centric desires are this material world. So then there is one more layer. So what is the layer after ahankar? Mahat is ahankar. Then comes buddhi, which is intelligence. So what intelligence does, it, now desire is a very abstract thing. It could be desire for anything. It's just a, for most of us, we think desire is just a feeling, but we are not even talking about the feeling level here. We are talking at a very, very fundamental, abstract level of our, we can't even perceive this desire because it is even subtler than your intelligence. But what intelligence so expertly does, intelligence is good at defining things. So suddenly this desire, under the influence of the intelligence, now manifest itself as, it tells you, hey, you are hungry. Your buddhi tells you, hey, you are hungry now. Right? So then, the pure consciousness from bliss turned to desire, now turned into hunger. Then what is the layer after the intelligence? The layer of mind. So what the mind expertly does, mind is good at giving shapes and structures to things. So this desire of water, this consciousness of hunger, gets a very proper shape called as, I want samosa. Because mind gives exact, because mind tells you that, look, there is nice smell coming from Srinaji. They are frying samosas. So mind gives like proper structure, shape, because memory bank may, we have all our experiences. So suddenly that hunger transforms into, I want samosa. So now you become samosa conscious. Right? So then what follows after that? That's it. So you have the layer of senses. What will the senses do? Eat samosa. Or in other words, you engage in action. So you see, this is how the consciousness is mutating, right? Distorting into material space. From pure bliss, it turned into desire, that turned into some abstract hunger, that into very specific samosa, and finally action. Now, most of us, we only sense these two layers. Maybe if you are more self-aware, you will sense this also. Right? Like if you notice children, they don't know they are hungry, but only thing they know is they are disturbed, so they start crying. So mother understands, so she gives food and takes care. Right? As we grow up, maybe we start understanding this, but certain deeper things we can't still process. Right? But most of us, we are very sure of these two layers, but we don't understand there are these three more layers, you know, before that. So now, this is our life, right? So where can I fix my life? So let's see one more layer we need to add here. You see, this action of eating samosa is not a very simple action, because every action has a reaction. So this act of eating samosa it creates a reaction and it influences your chitta, your mind and intelligence by creating some impressions, right? So these are impressions. So what are these impressions, these samskaras? We are not using Sanskritam anywhere, okay, but these are samskaras. So what these impressions do, over a period of time, they pool up in your mental space, and at a certain point, these impressions turn into inclinations and they start influencing your desires. Which means, you ate samosa today and you liked it. So the liking is a very important aspect, because every action doesn't turn into an impression. Actions that have some emotional component only turn into impressions. Right? Only when you enjoy a class, you will remember it. Or if you utterly hate a class, you will remember it. Like or dislike, both are emotions. If it's like an ordinary class, okay, you visit and then you go, it gets wiped off from the memory. Right? So, when you enjoy that samosa, you think you are done with it. And you will say, next time I will never eat samosa. But you know, you enjoyed that samosa, right? So after 2 days, you are hungry. What is the first food that comes to your mind? Let's eat samosa. Then you again eat samosa. After some time, next time you are hungry, without even thinking, the instant desire comes, samosas. After some time, now the samosa loop has become, the samosa inclination has become so strong, one day you are just bored. Let's do some time pass. What the first idea comes to your mind? Let's eat samosas. So this is how slowly one innocent action has now become a habit loop within you. Right? And this is how we become victims of our past actions and become enslaved by this karmic. This is karmic reaction basically. Right? It's all happening here. Now I need to fix this system. This is the point where our sixth canto begins, the first chapter begins, because the last chapter we saw eating samosa is a very innocent thing. We saw the whole list of what all things, from adultery to killing a brahmana to, you know, all kind of sinful activities we discussed, and how these living entities are going to hell. We saw the whole list, you know, all the entire travel guide for those who want to go to hell, we saw in the last chapter. And immediately Parikshit Maharaj, he feels very much compassionate, and then he asks, "Are, is there some way people can get out of hell?" Right? So then, so what's the first recommendation that Sukhdev Goswami gives? Do some atonement. So if I were to again break it down, so you have your action space here, you have your impressions here, and you have your intentions here. Right? So when you are talking of atonement, in which layer, at which level are you creating some change? Is it an change of intentions? Is it a change of your impressions? Is it a change of your action? Yes. So when you're talking of karma, when you talk of atonement, we are trying to influence these actions. So which means, if you do some sinful activity, there is some prayaschitta for that, and you engage in some, you know, counter, you know, like for example, Prabhupada quotes, go and confess, you know, or for example, there are some rituals, karmakanda rituals also that you can do. You do that action. But let's look at this loop here. I change my action, but does it change me? Which means, in our example, I will ban samosas from GV. There are no more samosas available, or you will put yourself in a place where there are no samosas. That is your atonement. For 1 month, prayaschitta, I will go live in some forest where I have no access to samosas. Will you be purified? Well, for 1 month you may not eat samosas, that is guaranteed. But after you come back, again when you are walking, you are going to take darshan of Vrindavan Bihari. You are standing before Vrindavan Bihari. But the fragrance from Srinathji's kitchen comes. And in that prayaschitta, you never actually purified your intention. You just did it ritualistically that, okay, I will do an action and, you know, but your intentions never got purified. So, that is a very superficial ritual. So, all you need to do is again come back to the environment of your distraction and immediately you will go back into your past habit loops. So, therefore, prayaschitta doesn't work. Right? So, that is one category. That's why Parikshit Maharaj immediately rejected that. But let's look at the next alternative that he gives. What is the next alternative he gives? Work on your intentions. You know? Because actions are very superficial. Because finally, what is action? Action is an external manifestation of an inner intention. Right? So, if you work on your intentions, then you will have real purification. So, that's the jnana method that he gives. Okay, good. Very good. Let's see that. So, now I work on my intentions. So, which means from tomorrow I will read books on why samosa is not good for your health. All the cholesterol, all the potatoes, starch, etc., etc., health risks of eating fried foods. I will start reading all those books. And it works. Right? To for some time. Let's talk about it. It works. Because definitely now you will get some determination. What knowledge does? Knowledge gives you determination. It definitely will give you determination to last for more than a month. Right? And not just month. Maybe you may give it up for a very, very long time also. But then you know what happens one day? You have a very, very difficult day at work. Very hectic day. Your boss made you work a lot, or maybe some deadline, you know, some construction deadline, whatever. Right? You have to work very hard to the point where you are completely emotionally drained. And at that point, you need some relaxation. You need something to give you enjoyment. And when you are emotionally weak, you know, who will take over? Your impressions, your inclinations will take over. And at the time you'll say, yaar, 1 year I anyway stayed away from samosa. Today is my cheat day. I'm feeling very weak and vulnerable. I need some relaxation. Let me go break my vow. I will go eat my samosa. It's okay. Right? So the problem is, even though your intentions are good, you're successfully done your actions also because of driven by good intentions, but we never purified the impressions. So you'll again go back to the same. It's just a matter of time, but definitely more effective than karma. So jnana is more powerful than karma. What's the third recommendation he gives? Third one is a little subtle. I don't know if you caught it. He talks about tapasya, tapa, brahmacharya, you know, the whole list of yama, niyamas, that literally he used the word yama. So that is the method of purification of your samskaras, which an ashtanga yogi does, the dhyan method does. Because dhyan, there is an action intention component also, but dhyan is all about controlling the mind and cleansing the mind of all its past impressions and inclinations. So now, by tapobal, by following strict life of discipline and by tapasya, and you know, austerity and following all the rules and regulations, I am now creating not just an external environment, I am also creating an inner environment of purification. And the tapasya is so powerful, it can cleanse. Just like how fire can burn. Like you can see the forest fire there, on the night time you will see on the mountain. Like how that forest fire can literally clean acres and acres of dry grass, the fire of tapasya is so powerful, it can cleanse lifetimes of impressions and purify your inclinations. So now by the tapobal, problem is solved. Yes or no? No. Why? So where is the root here? So you see, even though this part is clean, remember how the contamination came in the first place? As long as this ahankar is converting your pure consciousness into desire, the loop will further get contaminated. And that is why Sukhdeva Goswami, even after talking about the tapa and all these methods, he says, what does he say? You have to become Vasudeva Parayana. Until you become Vasudeva Parayana, none of these will work. So Parayana, Parayana here means, just what is Narayana? Narayana, shelter of Naras, shelter of all humans. Parayana, once your shelter becomes Vasudeva, which means once your identity becomes Vasudeva, devotee, until then, none of these are going to work in a sustainable way in the long term. So where, how do you become Vasudeva Parayana in this entire loop? Is it through action? Is it through intention? Is it through your impressions? It is with your identity. So this is the place where I need to purify. This is the space where I need to become Vasudeva Parayana. Then the desire is no more centered around my ahankar. The desire becomes centered around the will of Vasudeva. And gradually you will eat, but you will not eat for your hunger. You may eat samosa also, but you will eat Mahaprasad samosa. Right? You will desire for samosa, but you will desire for Krishna's Mahaprasad samosa. You may not just go and buy samosa from the counter, but you will go stand in Mahaprasad line and collect Mahaprasad samosa. So you see, that is the power of devotional service. It is not that there is no intention, action or impression cleansing in bhakti, but we need to understand what is the level at which bhakti begins. That kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva, that kevalaya bhaktya that Sukhdeva Goswami is talking about, that kevala bhakti is where? Bhakti is not just action, bhakti is not just cleansing the impressions, bhakti is not just this. Bhakti begins here. Right? That's why Mahaprabhu, when he begins his teaching, Sanatana Goswami, what the first upadesh he gives? Jivere Swarupoye Krishnere Nityadas. Without that founded, your identity, without resetting your identity, any attempt made on this side is not sustainable. And that is the problem with pure karma, pure jnana or pure dhyana. They cannot completely purify us because our identity will still, the contaminated identity will add contamination on this side. It's like you're cleaning this side of the lake, but on that side there's a big poison tank which is constantly emptying poison into the tank. So no matter how much you clean here, until you switch off that poison tank there, all your efforts here are futile. Right? So that's why you will see, when in Prabhupada also quotes it, I think in the 15th verse, he quotes that how it is not that bhakti needs karma or jnana, but rather jnana and karma need bhakti. Because even though you may be doing very good actions, but until your identity is not set, that karma will not give you the result. You may be perfectly reading all the scriptures, following discipline, life regulations, etc., etc., but if your identity is not set by bhakti, then jnana will also not give result. Likewise, even though you may be doing lot of tapasya and with tapobal, control your mind, etc., you may be doing all the chittavritti, nirodhas, controlling the mind, stilling the mind, but if your identity is not set, even ashtanga will not work. So this That is why when Rupa Goswami, when he defines Kevala Bhakti or Shuddha Uttama Bhakti, right? What does he say? Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. So where do you think Anya Abhilash, where are all our Abhilashas stored? So Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. Jnana Karma Adi Anavritam. So is this the primary definition or secondary definition of bhakti? If you remember how, right? This is still the secondary definition. What is the primary definition there? Anukulyena Krishna. So the Anukulyena Krishna comes here. When you become a Vasudeva Parayana conscious, this is the Anukulyena Krishna comes. Then there is Anushilanam also, we'll talk about that. That is even more important. We'll talk about that. Right? But at this point, we need to understand that this Uttama Bhakti, the seed of that Kaivala Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti, it starts here. So we need to be really clear in terms of what exactly is this process of devotional service. It begins by reforming our identity. Right? And that's why when we are initiated also, we all get nice beautiful names, but we forget that is like how Ajamila is chanting Narayana's name. That is a technique for us to chant. But the most important part of our name is Das or Dasi. Because that is where we are doing the Vasudeva Parayana aspect of bhakti. Right? So when we do all this, that is how the whole process of purification works. Now, let's say I do start my bhakti process, I do start my Vasudeva Parayana act, then where in bhakti do I purify my intentions? How in my bhakti can I purify my intentions? Which anga of bhakti or which aspect of bhakti is where I purify my intentions from my intellectual or mental intellectual space? That's what Swadhyaya does to us. Right? When you understand Adhyayan, when you study yourself, Swayam ka Adhyayan, when you study your own self, based on scriptures, we are purifying our intentions. Right? Where in what aspect of devotional service... There you go, devotional service. So there, the answer is there, right? Action component is? Right? So actions motivated with the Vasudeva Parayana identity that I am a Das or a Dasi is Seva. If that identity is not there, then it is good exercise. Good movement of your body or burning some fat. That's the benefit you will get, right? Not completely. We'll talk little more after this part. Okay, where is the part of our bhakti where we are purifying our impressions in the chitta, where we are doing cheto darpana marjanam? That is our sadhana. Anytime we come in contact with transcendental sound vibration, that is sadhana. So even in devotional service, these three aspects are there. It is not that I just tell, oh yes, I am Krishna's bhakta, I am Das or Dasi. That alone doesn't work. This identity has to manifest at intention, impression and action space. And that's how this is the complete package that we practice as our devotional activity. Right? So now, there is a very interesting... There are two interesting statements that Srila Prabhupada makes in the last line of both the purports that we read today. So I would like to read it out and ask your opinion as to what you understand from that. Okay, let me quickly. Okay, right. So if you see text number 26, last line. Okay, so text number 27, last line. Directly or indirectly, Ajamila factually remembered Narayan at the time of death. So, what is the What do you interpret from this statement? Ajamil remembered Narayan at the time of death. So Ajamila factually remembered Narayan at the time of death. Okay, let's see the next purport, 28 and 29, last line. Ajamila, however, never meant to chant the holy name of Narayan. He meant to call his son. So did Ajamil remember Narayan or not? So is there a contradiction between these two statements? No, yes. How do we reconcile this contradiction here? Narayan and his name are non-different. Okay. The previous statement says, Ajamila factually remembered Narayan at the time of death. The next purport, last line says, Ajamil never meant to chant the holy name of Narayan. He meant to call his son. So how do we reconcile this contradiction here? He remembered his son. Okay. So Ajamila factually remembered Narayan at the time of death. So that means you are saying he remembered son Narayan. Okay. So he never remembered actual Narayan. Okay. So this is where now we need to analyze. Yes, Prabhu.
Actually, when he called Narayan, Lord Narayan in the Vaikuntha, it attracted his attention that somebody is calling my name. Although he was not addressing Narayan, but Narayan got, his mind was totally attracted by his names. And then Narayan gave his mercy.
Okay. That's very nice. So, let's now try to understand this aspect, this apparent contradiction from our chart here. So, there are two things in our, so there is our intention and there is our action. Okay? So let's take four scenarios. Because 2 into 2, 4 possibilities. So where there is absolutely no intention and there is no action. Right? So this category we know. Where do they go? They go, previous chapter, right? They go to hell. This is very clear. Now comes the tricky part. There is no intention. There is action. There may be an intention, but there is no action. There is intention and there is action. Four scenarios now. Which category you think we are discussing now? When Prabhupada said he was not remembering Narayan, Prabhupada is commenting from the intention point of view. But when Prabhupada said he chanted Narayan, Prabhupada is saying from the action point of view. So this is the case study of Ajamila. There is intention, which means this person is devoted, but somehow due to his past habits, past impressions, and his selfish motivations, he ends up doing wrong actions. Any examples you can think of? Indra. Indra is a classical example of somebody, he is a devotee. Right? In fact, the definition of Krishna in Bhagavatam is centered around the protector of Indra. Right? Indrari Vyakulam Lokesa. So whenever Indra is in, so he is a devotee. Absolutely no doubt about it. But sometimes, due to some actions, due to some whatever past habits that he had, his actions somehow don't turn out so good. Right? Okay. Is there anybody who has good intentions and actions is also very good? Dhritarasura. So welcome to Canto 6. So in 6th canto, now, is the first person a devotee? No. Is the next person devotee? Okay, is Vritrasura a devotee? Yes. Is Indra a devotee? Is Ajamila a devotee? These two are very clear. They are devotees. Bhaktavas. Yes, good. Very nice. Yeah, literally he is like that. But he is still a devotee. This too will make logical sense. But this pastime is so special because this very, very unique scenario, because at least here their intentions are good. But here we are talking about a person who never had the intention, an obvious direct intention of chanting Narayana's name, but somehow ended up chanting Narayana's name. If such a person can also be delivered, that shows, one, of course, the mercy of Narayana and the Supreme Lord, and more so the power of holy name and the power of pure devotional service. How merciful Bhakti Devi is. So that's why this Ajamil pastime is a very important pastime to show that, look, the initial discussion highlighted how, you know, bhakti is needed for karma, jnana and dhyana to work. And bhakti is independent of those. Rather, bhakti empowers these other processes. That we understand. But then what is bhakti? Is bhakti only, are only the Vritrasur and Indra bhaktas? Vritrasur, no doubt. I mean, both are tick mark. We understand. He's a pure devotee. Almost because of some prarabdha, he is born as an asura's body. But finally, he is a pure devotee. That's okay. Indra, you know, we can relate with it. You know, all new bhaktas or struggling bhaktas. Our intentions are good, but somehow due to past habits, past patterns, we commit mistakes. So, because if you say Indra is not a devotee, then we also don't become devotees. So, to give a green stamp to ourselves, we will put Indra also in devotee category. But Ajamil, this is a tricky scenario. Is he a devotee or not? So this entire pastime is highlighting that. The whole samvad that you will read next about how Vishnudutas are going to come. Of course, it's not that they declare, they give a clean chit to Ajamil. He got a second chance. Indicating that even Namabhas has so much power, it can uproot the sin, the sinful proclivity. Now at this point, of course, it's a long discussion. At this point, some of you will be wondering, are you then he, it's not that he chanted Narayana's name only in the last moment of death. All his life, from the 8 year age, whenever he had that child, he was chanting the name of Narayan. Then how come he was still committing sinful activities, one may ask. Right? So Vishwajit Thakur gives two very, one rasik and one shastric, not shastric, but like a more logical, our level answer. Our level answer he gives is that, even though his sinful proclivities are all gone, because of the vega, the like Prabhupada's example of a fan being switched off, right? Still the momentum of the fan is there. So he's just going through his past impressions until the fan slows down. It looks like he's committing sinful activity. That's the only thing left. But a very rasic answer he gives is that actually Lord wanted him to continue like that. Otherwise, people will now misuse the process of bhakti. They will do whatever they want and chant one Narayan and say, ah, now I'm pure. So that we want to keep a filter, because bhakti is what? It is Sri Krishna Akarshini. Right? Karma, jnana, dhyana will take you to the courtyard of Krishna, with bhakti of course. But Shuddha Bhakti means you can enter into Krishna's house. So it's a very, very rare privilege. You can't send anybody into the house. So you need to keep some filters. Right, some criteria. So just so that others don't misuse bhakti, so Lord personally facilitated that this fellow continues his sinful life, but he knows I'm going to protect him. I will personally come in his heart at the time of death. You know, elsewhere one devotee scholar was explaining that he introduces somewhere some Puranic reference he quotes saying that Narad Muni happened to be Ajamila's guru. Not like immediate direct guru, but at some point he got the grace of Narad Muni. And Narad Muni blessed him, and by Narad Muni's inspiration, he kept the name Narayana. So just to fulfill Narada's promise, because Narada blessed this guy, so now I have to oblige. Right? And that is where Anushilanam comes. Right? So after that Kechat Kevalya Bhaktya words, the next verse, Sukhdev Goswami says, actually, what is the word? Remember that verse? It says that how, for one who is completely, surrendered to a devotee of the Lord, this process of purification works very powerfully. I think this is text number 5. Sorry? And yeah, let me very quickly. What is the next word? Krishna Arpita. So the Krishna Arpita person, for such a one who's surrendered to a Krishna Arpita person, right? 16th verse, right? Yeah, correct. 16. So that ones who are surrendered to Krishna Arpita, and that's where the Anushilanam part comes in the definition of pure devotional service. When that is like the ultimate. So even Ajamila's story, this no intention, but somehow due to accidental action, even that he got a license because of he got connection with one Krishna Arpita person, that is Narad Muni. So that connection is also there, and therefore Narayan in Vaikuntha stopped his pastime, said, okay, let me send the Vishnudutas to protect him. So that is the most powerful process like that. All right, so there are more subtle details that will come out in future discussion. So these are just few thoughts which I wanted to share. Any quick questions or comments? If any reflections?
So during Prabhupada's time, that's what must have happened, isn't it? I mean, those who were drug addicts, but they came in contact with him and they served him. All other processes, especially I was thinking about, these rehab centers and all, or de-addiction. I think Abhimanyu Pran, when we were just talking, that GV should have a de-addiction center. Actually, one sense, we are not equipped. But if you understand this, we are the best place for that. No?
Yes.
I mean, the way those deep impressions which makes a person do the same thing again and again. And if there are people like Abhimanyu Pran Prabhu, and he becomes friendly with him and he starts serving him. So he goes right there to the deep impressions and... Correct, no Prabhu, you can add. This was your desire. He said there should be a de-addiction center here.
Collaboration with you. You have all the medical
knowledge. It's, people spend millions of dollars and it's just a temporary atonement.
Yes.
Very, very rare.
your question actually is the point of this class, actually. As practicing devotees, we need to understand how bhakti works, and when our acharyas say or in Bhagavatam says that is the most powerful, we need to understand it rationally. So when this idea that came to your mind, it's a testimony that, look, yes, that's the whole point of this first chapter of sixth canto. It's to just bring out this aspect, because we understand bhakti works on Vritrasura, Indra, we understand, but it is working on Ajamila also. Right, to understand that is the uniqueness of this chapter. Yes, Prabhu.
So one from this discussion, one question came into mind, that this verse Sankityam Pariyasyam Stobam Hilniva Vainkut Samagran Ashishaga Haram Vidhu. So as per the discussion, it seems that Ajamila chanted on the stage of Namabhas Sankityam. He was sanketing, indicating the sun. But because there is a Narayana in between, he got that mercy of Lord. Does that mean all those chant on the stage of Namavasa, Sankityam Pariyasam? So is it a case that only they have to have some purity in between? Then only this verse works, or this verse is applicable in that case. Is it like that?
I mean, look at it this way. Like, Hemroop is not here. Yes, I don't know if you guys saw Hemroop's WhatsApp status yesterday. He put a video of a game he used to play, right? So in that game, there were some Hare Krishnas chanting. It's a video game from the 60s or 70s where there were Hare Krishnas who were chanting the name Gauranga. So he said, in my childhood when I was playing this game, I didn't even know what Gauranga means. He just thought it is some cry, right? So there was this saffron clad and, that Gauranga came in a video game. Now, if you think about it, that connection, where did the game designer know the name Gauranga? he definitely saw some from devotees. Where did that devotee hear the name Gauranga? From Prabhupada. So which means indirectly that game designer had a connection with the Mahat. Right? So that is why in the Bhakti, Narada's Bhakti Sutras also, he says that how that he talks about Bhagavad Kripa as the is the main criteria for bhakti, but then he says, even if you get a drop of that Mahat Kripa, that is enough. And then he gives a relationship how Bhagavad Kripa leads to Mahat Kripa and Mahat Kripa leads to Bhagavad Kripa, and finally it's that combined effect of both which is going to, you know, purify a person in the process of devotional service. So yes, so there may not be an immediate direct connection, but even that holy name, it's only in a very, very advanced person's case that holy name is also there as the nada, as the unheard sound around us, anahata sound around us, where directly in meditation a yogi can actually hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, right? But we are not so advanced. So we heard from some direct source through connection through a devotee. So that's how I will see that scenario, yeah.
People have name like Krishna, Rama, Vithala, Govinda. They have name. Even Muslim people chant their names. Nonsense. Yes. In Pakistan, personal minister of Pakistan, he may chant Govinda, he Krishna, he may call somebody. And we don't know whether he has that connection or not. Just like this Gauranga has some connection with some Prabhupada or some pure devotee. Mm-hmm. So will this Namavas will work in that case or not?
Right. So, see, we should understand, even when you do Helana, even when you do Helana, like Prabhupada, one place he writes, even if you have a name like Panorama or Diorama, there's Rama there, right? So you are chanting. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta went on record saying that, forget about, even every syllable is actually Krishna's name. Any, which means every word is Krishna's name. Even if I sing tree, so the ta sound, Trivikrama is coming from that. So when you say tree, you are chanting Trivikrama's name. So that way every word, right? But then the Abhas concept has to be understood properly. When is something a semblance, right? Now in the case of Ajamila, you will notice that he had that Mahat Kripa and it worked. But what if somebody is chanting that holy name as an Abhas, but they have absolutely no devotional intention? Right? Here Ajamila had some devotional connection from his, Prabhupada mentions how he worshipped Narayan Shila in his childhood and Narad Muni story also that we heard. But then, when somebody is very offensive towards devotees or, you know, or they are offensive to the whole process of devotional service, and in that state of mind, if they are chanting even an Abhas, right? They may experience some temporary benefit, or sometimes they may experience a benefit which will not manifest immediately for them until they purify of that offensive nature. That is why when we say offenses, they don't destroy bhakti, they cover our access to the mercy of devotional service. So such people, if they are maintaining an offensive mentality and they, you know, so the it's like you are earning money, but you still don't have the ATM code for your, you know, the pin you don't have, right? But the moment you will change your thing, then suddenly you'll suddenly say, oh, I have $1 billion in my bank account. I didn't know all these days, right? So like that. So the mindset of that person also very much matters, right? Yeah. All right. Yes, for one last question. I have another class in 20 minutes.
Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam verse features in this. Is it in Swadhyaya level?
Upadhi means identity. Right? Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. So this is that is straight away talking about your identity level itself. Right? So sarva upadhi tat parthve nirmalam. Right. So yeah, so in that verse he's talking, you know, sevanam. Directly talking about an action level, because directly engaging the senses. So there he doesn't cover these two aspects, and that's why Rupa Goswami's definition is the most technically accurate legal statement. He covers all possibilities and covers it in such a brilliant way in one definition like that. All right, we'll end the class here now. Thank you. Ganta Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Anand Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai, Haribol.